Hashtag no music, no intro. A Sunday night episode of the Saints Block Party podcast. Thank you for joining. Earlier today, I was just like, you know what? We recorded a podcast episode on Monday. It's Sunday. I have an idea for an episode. Hit up Ryan about recording, and we're recording. So thank y'all for joining us. I know it's 10 o'clock where Ryan is on the Central Time. It's 11 o'clock Eastern, but it's the off season. However, training camp's right around the corner. Along with training camp being around the corner, we have the release of College Football 25. If you have a PS5, if you have an Xbox, if you want to be a part of the Saints Block Party podcast, College Football Dynasty, which means that the online dynasty can hold up to 30 human players in one dynasty. So I believe right now, off the top of my head, I think we have like five or six people in the dynasty. You do need to be a Patreon if you want to join. I, of course, am taking Texas Tech, trying to lead them to prominence. G has Utah, or is it Utah State? Utah. So it'll be a fun time. It'll be a fun time. We're
Yeah,
gonna,
me.
we're gonna stream the games, Twitch them. So get on that if you can. All the plans for the Block Party podcast meetup coming together for that weekend for New Orleans. If you're still wanting to join the meetup for the Chargers game, please let me know. Oh, what else is there? Big shout out to our homegirl Elise.
Shut up, please.
See you doing the salute because it's 4th of July just passed. I get it. Just an incredible person who really has been with the podcast from ground up. Our first
Day one.
podcast meetup was in at Elise's and her husband Ben's backyard. Always been incredibly supportive, loving, just an incredible person. And so
Incredible.
her birthday was, I believe, was it yesterday? Yes, her birthday was yesterday. And just from myself, from Ryan, just thank you. We hope you had the most amazing day. And just thank you for just always showing up and being there for us. Because it means the world to us, like truly.
Always. Always. Always dip through. Always show love. Always support.
Always. The I remember when, two off seasons ago, three off seasons ago. Maybe it was four when Elise was just up. Like, it was always something, bro. She was always updating that calendar. The calendar just updating. And so, it's the off season. People doing their own thing in the summertime, which I get. But even when the games come back and all that happens, Elise will be back, full throttle. So hope you had a great birthday. And before we even talk about anything regarding the Saints. Oh wait, I didn't even check if we're. I'm terrible at this when it comes to posting to. Yeah, so this is my podcasting. There you Man, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up what happened to the Around the NFL podcast.
Oh, man.
Like, I feel like we got to talk about it because honestly, it's not hyperbole to say that without the Around the NFL podcast, there may never have been a Saints, hashtag Saints Twitter, now Saints Block Party podcast. I remember
Not hyperbole at all, bro.
when our friendship started and I was working at this terrible job that I hated, I would listen to the Around the NFL, weekly. Anytime they drop a new episode, we'll listen to it. At the like genesis of our friendship, when we started like texting each other and talking about football, we were always talking about things that were said on the Around the NFL podcast. And just fast forwarding a little bit to just life is weird in the way that some of the people from that podcast, me and you were in Vegas when the Saints drafted Chris Olave. We had lunch with Greg. We had lunch with Mark. And to go from just fans, right,
yeah,
who admired their work, like just a pillar, the best NFL podcast of all time. Period. Like, dot. Period. There is not, there will never be a greater NFL podcast. And from going to listening to it as a casual viewer or even a hardcore listener to now people from that podcast becoming friends, rest in power to our dude, Chris Wessling. The way that it ended, right, where they don't get to do a goodbye episode. It's just like, it was just like the court was plugged. Bruh, that's a great analogy. It's a great analogy.
But kind of worse than Michael Thomas because, you know, I mean, there's a little friction with MT going on. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just crazy to me, bro. It's just, I mean, look, it's not surprising because we see it happen all over, you know, all over corporate America or whatever, but it's just, especially the TV industry right now is going through a lot of changes, but bad business, man. Like, man, that's just, how is that not bad business? What I want to know. I need to see like the income reports and the balance sheets and all that stuff.
You already know what that looked like. You know that looked good as hell for the NFL, bro.
Come on, man. Like, that's just crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, man, it's like, I think I talked about it with Greg. I don't know if it was on the podcast or just talking to him, but like the whole podcast thing, this outlet, the audio outlet, is interesting because it's different. It's not like back in the day you listen to talk radio, you listen to sports radio, whatever. Those guys you listen to, they were characters. You know what I'm saying? Hey, this is John Lee, representative, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were putting on a show, whereas this format that we do and that we listen to, these podcasts and stuff, these are people, just regular people. So you get to know these people over time.
Right.
You really get to know them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they just got married, or they just had kids, and they, you know, they're on a vacation, or they're going through this, they're going through that. Chris Wessling, we experienced him going through cancer, beating cancer, coming back from it, getting cancer again, then passing away, having a kid. We experience all these lives through this medium called podcast, right, and you get to know these people, and then, you know, you talk to them on Twitter, you DM each other. Next thing you know, you trade the text. Next thing, hey, I'm out in your city, let's meet up. Developing friendships and all this stuff. So it's really fascinating just how, you know, this medium that's been created, you know, thanks to the internet and everything, just how that's just kind of changed the game. But you know, I just hated to see it, man. I love the one podcast. I probably listened to every episode. You know, just felt like that was my dudes. But I know that's not the end for them. You know, Greg Rosenthal, he gonna get it in. That boy there, he bought that hustle. So we know he hustle. Gonna get it in some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Mark, and you know, hopefully land on his feet. Quiet Storm. So it's going to be interesting. Patrick Claiborne, you know, hope everything continues to work out for him, because that's, if he leave NFL Network, bro, I'm lighting their ass up. I'm going to light their ass up, bro.
It's wild, right? Because their podcast has been on for 11 years. We've known each other for around, you and I, known each other for around like 11, 12 years. Yeah. So, like, that medium has been like a bookmark, and it's not about us, right? It's about them. Yeah. Like what they were able to do in the podcast industry, become the standard of podcasting in football, unheard of. Like just unheard of. And I think you said it, like, they weren't characters, they were just people with personality. Just like this podcast is people with personalities. You know, the fact that, you know, my daughter is going to, you know, a birthday party of Greg's daughter and vice versa. Wow. We've gone to me and my daughter have gone to the zoo with Greg and his kids and his wife together at the LA zoo. Like, I'm talking like real like friendship shit, bro. And it's wild. It's wild and it's unfortunate. I think just being like in this world in general, like nothing's a surprise. Like, so
No.
even though they didn't get a proper send off, it was shitty. The shitty part about that is nothing about that is surprising at all. And you have the NFL printing money, printing it, bruh, printing money. And for them to just not even give them, you know, a space to just clear the air
It's crazy.
when they've experienced a lot, like a lot of their trauma and losing a close friend was shared with everybody, bruh. Everybody. And it's
That's
like
crazy.
you can't even give them a proper send-off.
I mean, they sell out large auditoriums in London, bro. Like when they do those like meetups over there in London when they have like the London game. Like it's selling
Man.
out auditoriums, people to come see them. It's like NFL, like man, like
Gross.
gross, man. That's
Gross.
nasty work.
It is. But shout out to around the NFL podcast. We love y'all. We love y'all guys. We know you guys will be back and bounce back. But I had to talk about it, bro. Like it's insane. It's insane. Training camp is what's today? The 7th. So training camps. Oh man, I'm terrible at math. But 21, that's 14. So like what?
3 weeks.
17 days. Ish, right? In Irvine, pretty much been confirmed that none of the Irvine practices are going to be open. I'm not going to get
No.
on that
We
soapbox again.
didn't beat that dead horse.
We have.
Yeah.
Although there now that some things have clarified with the NFL around the NFL podcast, there is a video clip that we can drop now. Anyway, but I wanted to steer away from talking about training camp not being open. Although the one thing I want to say about that is I would like to look historically to see, and I know they're doing the two open practices in New Orleans. The Bucks are doing two open training camp practices as well. I want to see when the last time a team went somewhere, and not even go somewhere. Just conducted training camp and really did open practices to the fans. I would just be fascinated to look it up because it seems
Can't remember COVID the 2020. I can't remember how that year went.
not counting COVID. Like,
I think even that year we had fans in it outside.
nigga, in a full-blown pandemic, nigga,
That.
there was training camp, but you took okay. Anyway. Just make sure
I can't
you
recall.
sit 6 feet apart. So, all right, okay. But with training camp on the horizon, I wanted to just get into. It's that time of the season. It's that time of year. Like football is going to start percolating a little bit. What are the things that we want to see? What are the things that we, you and I, and as Saints fans, because fans aren't going to be there. But what are the things that we're hoping to read from that John Hendricks practice report, from that Ross Jackson practice report? And I think part of it, I will say this, you know, I think it is three pronged of why the Saints don't want practice open to fans, but in Irvine. One, there is part of it where they're just pussy. Period. Pussy. Another part of it is just they don't care about fan engagement anymore. Don't care about fan engagement. They are scared to see. They're scared that if Derek Carr maybe not look good, that the Saints fans would be vocal about it, even in Irvine.
Boo! Why'd you get booed in training camp, bro?
Bruh, I swear to God, if they were opening practices here, I was gonna try to go to like as many of them as I could. Like legit, as many of them as I could, I was gonna be there. Maybe that's the fourth reason. But the third reason is just also just cheapness. Like they don't want to shell out the money regarding the facility. They just cheap. So with those three reasons, they're like, oh, it's not in the world, blah, blah. Okay. But when we're reading these reports, what do we want to see? what players are we keyed in of we want to see them doing well? It could be players, it could be scheme, it could be anything. Just an interesting topic for us to kind of talk about. This might not even be a super long episode, honestly. Just Dante already got one, bro. Dante say, is it too much to ask to see Foskey and Turner actually in pads?
Thank you, asking a lot, bro. You know, Payne Turner ain't wearing no pads, bro. He gonna be on that sideline, be on that sideline, gleaming though.
Wait until the middle age white women. Oh wait, there's not fans there anymore, so he ain't waiting on no fans. All right, damn it. Just gleaming. It's funny Dante says that because actually that is one of mine. Like, all joking aside, I'll say this: we got to be very careful about what comes out of training camp, because it happens in training camp, it happens in the preseason. All these reports come out, and then when the like real football starts, sometimes it doesn't mean anything. That said, you would rather see positive reports about players and things rather than negative reports, right? I think about Bradley Roby, the year that they traded Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You listen to them, like, Bradley Roby had like an outstanding training camp in the nickel, bro. Like, it was like he was that dude. And that was, you know, that was not the sole factor, but that played a big factor in why the team felt that they could trade CeeDee Deuce and not miss a step. Now, they were wrong, but that's how sometimes how players look in training camp can be a little misleading. But I'll remember back to Michael Thomas's first training camp, bro. Like, he, like, all the reports from training camp was like, he's that dude. Like, he's him. He's him.
Yep.
And he was him. So, It could be good. It could be good reports, and that player lives up to those standards. It could be reports, and then those players, you know, whatever. I just want to know what we want to see. I do want to see, to Dante's point, I want to see some positive reports about Payton Turner. I want to see some positive reports about Isaiah Foskey. Is that going to translate to the game? Maybe not. Probably not. But can I at least hear that they exist?
Please. Especially Foskey. Bro, I'm not even thinking on Payton Turner at this point. He is a figment of the imagination.
To post that story to our stories on Instagram, bro.
I saw that shit early in the morning. I was cracking up. But I just, we'll see. But Foskey, like, bro, year two, man. Like, year two leap. You're apparently healthy. Like, come in there and light it up, man. Like, come on, bro. Like, show me something. Jesus. Chase Young, like, bro, you know, shake back from that neck. We'll see. I expect him to start the training camp on PUP, and then, like, they'll transfer, you know, transition him into, you know, the regular roster or whatever. So, yeah, fans, don't freak out when Chase Young, you know, starts on PUP. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't freak out over that. You know, I'm sure they'll transition him slowly. Maybe he won't start out on PUP. I don't know.
Maybe he won't, man. I don't know anything about it, but it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't for whatever reason.
Right. So, you know, but just kind of prepare yourself, you know. But yeah, bro. But obviously, number one for me is, you know, the backup quarterback position, that number two battle. Between, you know, incumbent Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler. I want to see if Spencer Rattler, he took his lumps in training, you know, in OTAs and minicamp. Head was spinning a little bit. Had this downtime to get himself together. Gonna come in training camp. Go ahead, you know, some pads on, padded practices.
He was practicing with Debo Samuels. I'm just saying. I saw that,
bro. So it's like, hey, man, like, let's get it in. I'm not saying, you know, like, put some pressure. Like, just put some pressure. I want to see some, you know, the way he threw that ball. I want to see some.
Right.
Some random reports, man. Some positive stuff. I don't want to see some of this shaky, that he looking shaky and all that. I want to see some positive. Spencer Rattler reports, and Jake Haener. I want to see Jake Haener continue to elevate his game. I want to see him looking good in the scheme. That's I'm not worrying about Carr. Carr is Carr. You know, he's QB one for now.
Carr
but
is
if
Carr.
They could, but this is the time that Rattler and Haener could start putting those little pebbles
in
the seasons of doubt and Clint Kubiak and all that. With that boy looking kind of good over there.
So ball coming out of his head quick.
Just saying. That's like that's what I can't wait to read, you know.
Those are good. Those are both good. I think for me, I just want to see growth from Spencer Rattler. I think you hit on it.
Right.
Like, he did not have good OTA. Besides like one OTA, or it was like his rookie. It was like the rookie OTA rookie mini kick out. After that, he struggled quite a bit. And I just want to see growth from him. Of him, like you say, he took his lumps and then he's grown from it, and he's had, you know, he has a better grasp on the offense, what they're asking him to do, all of that. Let's see. I'm going to the chat real quick. Our dude, Jay Sean, said, I want to see something from Kendre Miller, especially if this is AK's last year on the team. Our dude Julio says, and if Breece grows into the potential he's shown. That's another player who's coming off injury, like a kind of like surprise injury that we didn't even know he was really injured. And he got surgery in the offseason.
Yeah, that's kind of like not talked about much. I was like, oh.
At all.
You know what I'm saying?
At all.
Apparently he played through that stuff too all last year. Like, so it was kind of like, oh, okay. That's interesting.
They got a player in him, bro. They got a player in him.
I really believe it. I don't worry about him that much. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, how good he could be, I don't know, but I don't worry about him as a player.
Oh, that's a good question. How good could Brian Breece be? Because he had like six sacks as a rookie? Something like that. Something like
four and a half.
Yeah. From an interior defensive lineman?
And a couple taken back.
I gotta think on that. We'll come back to that. Maybe not on this episode. We'll come back to that. I gotta really think about how good potentially Brian Breece could be. Our dude Tony says can be hard to evaluate the offensive line, but let's see Penning and Fuaga, and let's see how Penning and Fuaga do. Yes, I think that's very like this. The team is banking on Fuaga being able to make the switch, and I get it, he played a little bit, but this is a switch for him. I don't care what anyone says. They're banking on him making the switch to left tackle as a rookie, and Penning at most being serviceable at right tackle and kind of giving him the clean slate. It's good. Like, I'll say this about that. Typically, like, offensive line, defensive line battles get very like mundane as training camp goes on. I think the we'll see that more in the preseason.
Exactly.
And in the joint practices, because they're going against different pass rushers. They're going against different schemes. And, you know, teams, you typically keep it pretty vanilla, but still.
The San Francisco joint practice is going to be really fascinating. Like,
15th to the 16th, and then I think that's right off the top of my head, and they play on the 18th. I'll be there at the preseason game on the 18th. Our dude Eric, who that homo, is going to be there. So me and Jay are going. It's going to be fun, and I'll get to see up close how the team looks. One training camp battle, I have two. I want to see, and I don't know how this is quantified or how it will look, but I want to see Chris Olave take that next step. I want to see him coming out of training camp talked about as if, okay, yeah, all right. Year three of Chris Olave going to be special. Like, I want that to be the buzz coming out from training camp for Chris Olave. And then another, like, to me, the two matchups in terms of, like, battles in camp that are super interesting to me is the battle at kicker with Groupie and Smith, and the battle for slot corner between Kool-Aid McKinstry and Alante Taylor. Yeah. That battle is gonna just like Alante versus Adebo was last season. That battle is gonna be the most interesting battle all of training camp.
So interesting, man. So interesting. You know, I can't call it. You know, I have no idea how that's gonna shake out. No idea. All I know is Marshawn Lattimore gonna be on a left side and Adebo gonna be on the right. That's it. That's all I know. Everything else, I don't know, man. We haven't seen Kool-Aid do anything yet because he's recovering from the foot. He should be ready to go, you know, all ready to go come training camp. Alante, you know, we talked about how, you know, the coaching staff is kind of up and down on him. So it's kind of up to him to come in and, like own that position, whether that's slot, you know, whatever. He has to own it. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out, bro. I really don't.
I don't either. And I think, like, if you just break them down, like, as a pure corner, like, if you're just talking about from the cornerback perspective, it's hard. It's, like, for me, it's still kind of hard to, like, discount Alante's rookie season on the outside because he played so well. But in terms of, like, prospect, in terms of, like, overall corner, I would guess that you would give that edge to Kool-Aid, like a technician, all that. In terms of athleticism and what have you, then it's Alante, right?
Size,
there you go. That to me is going to be a fascinating battle. It really, really is. Because if Alante doesn't win that battle and Kool-Aid wins it, he's gonna be depth, behind the rest of the corners. But other than that, like, I don't think they have a role for him if he doesn't win that slot corner battle, bro.
Yeah, he has to have in his mind that, you know, I'm getting on the field regardless. Whether it's, look, put me at safety, coach, you know, put me at free, put me at strong, put me at nickel, I'll do anything. You gotta have that mindset. And, you know, he kinda has that kind of little bit of immaturity. You know, it's not that he doesn't love, I mean, he loves, obviously loves the game of football and stuff like that, but
right.
You know, he gotta have that, like, man, I'm coming in here, I'm a dog, I'm about to play. I'm playing. You know, you gotta come in there with that mentality instead of, you know, from what I heard, he was like, man, he ain't really want to play slot last year, from what I understand. He ain't really want to play it, but he did it. You know, he had to do his job. But as far as, like, diving into the playbook, diving into the tape, you know, if you play slot corner, man, you have to be really smart.
Yes.
You have to be really smart because you have to understand the two-way goals. You have to understand all the different route concepts, the option routes and all that stuff. You have to understand the run game because you're a force player in the run game. You're a pressure player also. You're the one that's most likely to pressure the quarterback. So you have to really understand the game. That's why, you know, some of the older corners you see move to the slot. You know, some people think it's because they lose speed. That's part of it, but a lot of it is just because they're so smart. And you have to know so much. Where you play on the outside, it's hard. Like, it's obviously super difficult.
Right,
you just got to cover your guy. You know what I'm saying? You're covering your guy. Period. That's what you're doing. But you come from the slot, bro. It's a lot that goes into it. So I'm gonna need him to just kind of elevate. And look, you're going against a rookie, and, you know, I mean, he's gonna be at a new position too, you know, because he's played mostly outside of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry. So,
right,
you know, that's gonna be it's a battle, bro. Like, that's gonna be like the fascinating battle.
Fascinating, bro.
Nobody knows, like, nobody's a shoe in to win it or nothing. It's just like straight up battle.
Yes, all those things you said about the slot, 100% accurate. It's still wide to this day. I feel like as Saints fans, we, maybe not all, but I feel like after the CeeDee Deuce trade happened, people really underrated and didn't give him enough credit for how good of a player he was.
Early too, like, he just came in good
as a rookie, bro. He came in as a rookie and was a starting slot and played exceptionally well. And then got better as time went on. You know, year two, what have you. So, anyway, anything else that you want to see come out of training
Well,
camp.
not so much player, but I just want to hear the overall environment of practice. How long are the practices? Are they using all their time? Are these practices physical? Are they getting after it? Like you're in Irvine, the weather's supposed to be better than New Orleans around that time. We'll see, but
It will be.
so got to work at it, man. Like everything I read. The winning coaches, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, all those, man, they get after it in practice, bro. They get after it. And look, under DA, man, it's just been feeling kind of lax to me. I don't know. It's feeling kind of lax. So I just want to hear some good stuff about them getting at maybe Kubiak, since he's coming in and changing the culture as an assistant coach, coming in creating accountability and all that. Let's see it. Let's
What?
see it.
How you call hire offensive coordinator? He the one coming in changing the culture. It made no sense to me, bro. It don't make no sense. Jay Sean also said, "I want to see something from the receivers behind Olave and Shaheed.
Oh
Depth
man.
is looking kind of bad, talent wise."
Specifically, and we talked about it with Scott Busca, we had on last week. Please go listen to that episode if you haven't.
Please,
Super,
please.
super fascinating. But like you talk about that middle of the field, that's gone with Mike Thomas. You know what I'm saying? Like that player we had with Mike Thomas, that's gone. So we need somebody to kind of fill that shoes, that possession, intermediate, short, intermediate area of the field. The concepts wasn't there last year with Pete Carmichael. The execution wasn't there with Derek Carr. So it's like they need to figure it out. They need the player to figure it out. They need the quarterback to figure it out. They need the scheme to figure it out. It's going to be there by the scheme. Like Clint Kubiak's scheme will give you that. We'll give
Yes.
you over the middle passes in the intermediate and short area. But we need the type of players to do it. Is that going to be A.T. Perry? I mean, I assume you would think
Right.
maybe Bub Meen. Maybe Bub Meen got, come in and take. I don't know.
Cedric
Maybe it's Cedric
Wilson.
Wilson. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting battle, man. Like, that third spot is going to be super fascinating.
You know what would be nice? And this is something else, and this is something I want to see coming out of training camp. I want to see AK use more in the passing game. I would like to see them using formations where both AK and Kendre Miller are in the game at the same time, on the field at the same time.
Give me.
Could we not have a formation where potentially you have Olave on the outside, you have Shaheed on the outside on the right, Olave on the outside on the left. You have AK essentially like slot going against a linebacker or a safety, and you got Kendre in the backfield.
Taste some
Because
good.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Ooh-wee.
Just saying.
Is Alvin Kamara gonna be a disgruntled player in training camp? Like,
That's right. That's right.
I don't know. Do they smooth that out? Do they give him a new contract, or does he come in and be like, "Well, look, I'm gonna play my final year and see what happened." Like, I don't know. How's that gonna work?
You like this is not talking about training camp specifically, but we were talking about this in our Discord. If you not a part of the Saints Block Party part Saints Block Party podcast Discord, become a Patreon, get you
Come on,
access.
man. I mean, $1 a month, that Discord worth that alone. Just the Discord alone, dollar a
No,
month.
I know there's some degenerates out there that be spending a lot more money on a certain platform called OnlyFans. You telling me?
Hey, we ain't judging.
We ain't judging.
We ain't
No,
judging at
no,
all.
never that. Never that. I'm just saying.
$1? So you can't even get a McDonald's hash brown for a dollar, bro.
Nigga, you can't get a large drink at a McDonald's for a dollar anymore, bro.
No more, bro. They gonna charge it for water.
I'll get back to the point about the Discord. Dante asked, "Will Willie Gay make Pete Warner sweat?"
Yeah,
he will. I do think, and this is what I've been told. If I think Ross Jackson's alluded to this a bit. They really have this plan where they want to get both linebackers, all three linebackers on the field. Yeah. I think their plan is essentially have Pete and Willie Gay be like the traditional linebacker types. And if on like pass rushing downs, using DeMario as like an extra rusher, which is weird to me because you would think you would have DeMario and Pete be the linebacker, traditional linebackers, and use Willie Gay like that because like that's what he did well in Kansas City. I don't know, bro. Like,
I don't know. I mean, DeMario's outstanding rusher.
He is. That.
But, you know, Willie Gay is apparently good at that, too. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to figure all that out. But I know they want to get him on the field. I know that much. You know what I'm saying? So, what packages maybe they bring? Maybe they take Tyran off? Maybe. I don't know.
No clue. Getting back to the whole point I was making on the Discord, you kind of went through the numbers. Tony says, I wonder if we might use some 3-3-5 and passing down to let DeMario rush more often. I think that's definitely part of their thinking of something that they want to do.
I think we lead the league or we top of the league as far as rushing three. So that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Discord, you talked about how financially coming up, cap-wise for the Saints, not a lot of players. The only two that stick out in terms of them paying is Adebo and Chris Olave. Other than that, there's not a lot of players coming down the line that you would think that need to get paid or maybe is worth paying.
Right.
They gonna have, man. These next two off seasons, bruh, it's going to be like you getting the tax return and you got like 3-5 kids as dependents, bro. Like, it's going to be a lot different. And this, okay, and I should preface by saying that's assuming Derek Carr is cut. That's assuming AK is gone. That's assuming Jamal Williams is gone. That's assuming DeMario Davis is gone. And I know, like, those are, like, big pieces. Also probably assuming that Cam Jordan's gone. Right, that's a lot of former great talent, but a lot of money that's going to come off the books and clear up a lot of money for the team. That's the thing that worries me.
Yeah,
that worries me in the sense of when you have money and you're burning a hole in your pocket, are you responsible with that money or do you just go out and splurge?
It's dangerous, man. It's very dangerous. You know, I mean, look, the cap nerds been screaming for it for years, you know, like by 2026, the Saints should be loaded with cap space. But they just won't have any players. It's like, so like, what do you rather have, cap space or players? Like, give me the player. Like, one of the biggest misconceptions is the Saints, like, they're terrible at cap management because they gave all this money to, like, all these free agents. No, they've signed. They had a historic draft, 2016-2017. They drafted, you know, Michael Thomas, top player at his position, 2017. Marshawn Lattimore, top player at his position. Alvin Kamara, top player at his position. Who else was in that draft?
Marcus Williams. Ryan Ramczyk.
Top players at their position that had to get paid.
Trey Hendrickson, who then got paid, had two last seasons with the Saints.
So it's like, then you know you had dudes like Cam Jordan, Teron Armstead. You know, we still was carrying Drew Brees, you know. So you had all probably, these players that...
Probably still carrying Jarius Byrd contract, too.
Still paying Jarius Byrd. So it's like, that's where a lot of the money went. You know, DeMario Davis, a lot of these really good players... that had to get paid, man. And, like, I don't see any problem with that. I'd rather that than the issue that will be coming up is we ain't got no players to play. It's like who you want to pay? You know what I'm saying? Like, Ruiz, he already paid, you know? Like, everybody else is. Like, we don't even know if you're going to be on the team in a year or two. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just goes to show, you know, they've done a rough job at drafting and developing. You know what I'm saying?
It's been
like,
bad, bro. It's been bad, man. Terrible.
That's the proof of the pudding.
Mark G goes, I hated losing Trey Hendrickson and Von Bell. Yeah. I mean, so listen, Sean wanted to right or wrong with Michael Jenkins, which played a big factor into them and Von Bell being, you know, them not bringing him back. And they brought back Michael Jenkins because you listen to Sean, that's his biggest regret he's done as a coach. And I'm just like, that. Like, listen, I get it. Like, that was a regret. I don't know if that's like the biggest, but I digress. Him and, yeah, that, but him and, not Gronkowski, Nikovich, Rob Nikovich. Jay Sean says team's finna look a real different in the next 2 years. It will. And the point I'm wanting to know, and this is beyond training camp, this is beyond even this season, is how patient Gale's gonna be. Because we've seen different avenues of trying to build a good team. I think historically we've seen that you cannot just buy free agents and just put a good, and that's going to lead to a good team. It's honestly just going to go back to what it was the last two seasons that the Saints came into prominence. 2006 had an amazing draft class. 2017 had an amazing draft class. Those draft class set up the whole future for those two runs, which led to a Super Bowl. Probably should have at least been three, but here we are. So the focus has to be on drafting great players. And then, like you said in our Discord as well, focus also has to be on, if Spencer Rattler ain't it, if Jake Haener ain't it, we need the guy in the building. And that's why the biggest thing, this entire offseason, the biggest thing that's like just was just like a huge thing to me. And I don't care. I'm not discrediting what John Hendricks heard. I'm not discrediting what Underhill heard. What I know is that the report that came out that the Saints tried to trade into the top 10 to draft Michael Penix Jr. was legit. That was real. To me, that told me everything. Now, you also got to assume with that report that the thing I took away when I heard that is, one, they felt like he was one of the best players in the draft. Two, the other thing I took away is that they also knew that Derek Carr was not the answer. And no matter how this season goes, the fact that they knew that going into this past offseason, and they might even know it more so going into next offseason, depending on how the season goes, to me, it seems bleak, but honestly, it's very much hopeful. Because if you can see it and you can identify the problem, you can start trying to work on fixing the problem. When you're so adamant that there isn't a problem, that's when you have issues.
Right. Absolutely, man. And look, I mean, we'll see how that plays out, but man, it's like go get an answer at quarterback. And look, even this year, I mean, they drafted a quarterback this past season and he drafted one last season. So it's like, I mean, there's never, not in my memory, I don't think they've ever had two drafted quarterbacks as backups.
Back-to-back years.
Yeah, back-to-back years. And like, it's them. Like, I'm not worrying about no damn, Peterman and all them. Like, I'm not, you know, not even worrying about them. Like, they have been investing. They maybe not, you know, investing highly, but they have been investing in the position. And they need an answer there. They need a guy there, bro. Whether that's, you know, Ewers next year or whatever. I don't know who it's going to be. But, like, them scouts need to be working on it now. Like, they need to be at summer games or whatever. They need to be.
Send them niggas to a Sanders rap concert, nigga. I don't care.
Everything.
everywhere. I want to know. Because that's the ultimate puzzle piece. We talk about, you know, the players that don't have no players to play and all that stuff. You get that quarterback right, bro. That changes the game for you, bro. Changes the game.
It changes the game for the franchise. It changes the game for just the watching experience, bro. Like, because at least you, like, you know. It's like, bro, I know if they draft like a good quarterback, I just know Chris Olave is just gonna roll to his knees and just say, "Thank you, Jesus." Like, I have seen what you've done for others.
Andy Dalton and
Jameis and Derek Carr.
Derek Carr screaming at you, bro. Like,
playing with CJ Stroud and Justin Fields and John Tupon. I know he just disgusted, bro. Eddie of the Don said they better be at the Manning Passion Academy
everywhere, bro.
I'm opening this up to the chat, and then I'm going to get to the question that our dude Brock has been answering or asking us to answer. Anything else anyone has that they just want to see from training camp or see coming out of training camp? Trying to think, is there anything else that I would love there to be an actual punter battle. I would love that. Because going into the season with Lou Hetley again at punter. Oh, Eddie said Holker. Yes, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Tight end room, period. Like,
yes. Yes.
We need answers.
because Juwan Johnson, he probably might not even be ready for week one. Like, speaking of Pup, like, that's a player that for sure may. Brian, don't look at me like that, bro. he got a legitimate injury, bro. He don't know when he got it. It still don't make sense to me, bro. Like you said, the tight end room in general with Holker, was it Michael Jacobson with Foster Moreau? I still think come week one, there's a chance that Holker could be starting, bro. Or like at least in two tight end sets. And Michael Jacobson is like, that's crazy. Like that in and of it itself would be like, assuming that he plays well, would be such a steal to be able to get a player like that in undrafted free agency.
Oh, yeah.
Every year we feel like we have like the next great like hope from like an undrafted free agent tight end. It never works out. Jay Sean said, I heard some of the undrafted free agent safeties were making plays during mini camp. Is there any chance that they make the roster, final roster? We got to see how it play out. Our dude Scotty said, I'm so excited to see the offense is going to look like. I just want it to be exciting. Yes. And to be fair, like, I don't think we're going to see anything from the offense of what it's going to look like until week one against Carolina. And even then, I don't think we'll have a full idea. Obviously, we'll have a better picture. It won't be the full idea. Anything that we see or that we read, really, because we're not going to really be able to see anything, but anything that we read from training camp reports and that we see in preseason, it's going to be very vanilla, basic. We're probably not going to be able to read too much. Eddie asked who the left guard is going to be. I think Tony asked that, too. I really think as of right now, it's shaping up to be our dude, Nick Saliverde, a.k.a. Nick Saliverde. Saliverde, get that green sauce on there, bro.
Now, that's another position is just kind of keep an eye on how, because we have no idea, you know, how well he is. You know, he speaks well. Every time I see an interview, like, man, it sounds like a good offensive lineman, but, you know, we'll see.
I like how we're talking all this stuff about training camp. Not one thing has been said about about Ryan Ramchick, bro. Like, I think we all know.
Everybody knows, man. Like, it's not even a question at this point.
No, it's not. Our dude Brock in the Discord has been asking us, like, was it our top five or I think it's the best. He wants to know what the best Hans Zimmer score is. Did he ask me the best or top five? Oh, no, he said ranked top five.
Should have prepped me for this one.
Sorry, bro. Sorry. Top five. Let me see if I can.
Number one, What you doing? You pulling up a list?
I'm writing my top five down because I gotta write it down.
Number one, man, it's tough, bro. I think I'm gonna go with Time from Inception.
Okay.
But it's tough, man, because that Man of Steel. Boy. Another one. This was my before I even knew who Hans Zimmer was. The score from Crimson Tide.
Okay.
Movie with Denzel Washington and
Gene Hackman.
Boy, before I even knew who Hans Zimmer was, I was like, boy, this shit is fire. So I'm gonna go Time One, Man of Steel Two. The Dark Knight theme. Is it Mambusa? What is the name of it?
Oh, I listened to it earlier. I know exactly which one you talk about.
Mm-hmm. I think I might go
with that. Monolossus?
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with that three. There's another one from Interstellar. Not Interstellar. I mean Inception. There's another one from Inception. Also Interstellar, the one where the docking scene.
Oh, yep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's so many.
That one's, I think, is attached.
I think so.
I think that one's attached.
No Time for Caution or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I wrote my five. Okay. One, my number one is Stay from Interstellar.
Oh, man.
My number right two.
Feels.
Woo! My number two is Man of Steel. Three is Time from Inception. Four is like the Dark Knight theme. And then five for me is like the like actual Interstellar theme, which I think is Day One. Maybe. Oh, the Interstellar theme. I'm just going to keep it simple. So those are my five. Those are my five. On the spot, kind of. On my five. I'm going to see Hans October 1st. Might faint, might need someone to come, like, to be with me, to revive me. Just been a long time. Been a long time. So many. I'm thinking Kendrick Miller is going to have a huge year. Thoughts? I think he can have the year if he can stay healthy. Like, that's really what it boils down to. That's it. Sick. Like, because this offense is, like, literally made for a player like Kendrick Miller. Maybe not the offense. The running game scheme seemed to be made for Kendrick Miller.
But then it seemed like he was buried, you know, this offseason. So it was like, what's going on here? So I don't know. I forgot to mention with the Hans Zimmer, a couple of tracks off The Lion King.
Yes.
Like the you know, the Mufasa scene when he, you know, when he gets deleted. that whole score, you know, the Stampede score and all that. Man, bro, I had Lion King, the Lion King soundtrack on tape back in the day. Cassette tape. I used to run that thing back so many times, bro.
Try going to like a mall and showing a kid a cassette tape right now and ask them what the fuck it is. They'd have no idea. Bruh, no clue.
Like my niece, they would have no idea what that is. Like, what is this?
None. Last question Eddie asks is AT Perry the wide receiver three?
I don't know, man. Should be. Maybe.
Him, Cedric Wilson, I would say, like, you're just looking for like a leader in the doghouse, not the doghouse, like leader in the house to be wide receiver three. I would really think, it would be AT Perry. Someone asked, "Sup with the sausage party?" I don't know, Dick Trickle. I just like sausage. I don't know. Like, who doesn't like sausage?
Love it, man. Eat me, anyway. Lizzie. I'm doing shit.
With the quickness, bro. You they have it to like science out here, bro. You leave any venue in LA, and I'm pretty sure it's not just LA, but like it's different LA. You leave Staples, you leave SoFi, Forum, whatever venue you leave, bro. They lined up like an army, just boom, 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 just bacon wrapped, just marked territory. And they just hot dog, and so you know, delicious. I will say inflation is completely just, or you just get a bacon wrap hot dog for like $4, $5. Now, bam, like 9, 10, 11, bro. Oh, I know, bro. Anyway. I think either Dante or our dude Mark, whichever moderator, just on top of great moderating duties in the chat, in the YouTube chat, we appreciate it. Yeah, they taking care of Dick Trickle for us. Sorry, let me get that correct. Anyway, thank y'all for joining on such short notice. It's good. Thank you, Dante. Dante said he got his ass out of there. Thank y'all for joining on short notice. We appreciate it. We just wanted to talk football, Saints. I know the training camp starts on the 24th, I believe. I forget what day the rookies report. They report a couple of days before training camp actually starts.
18th or something like that.
Yeah, there's something like that. But Mark asked if there's going to be interest in Hunter Renfrow. I hope not. I don't want any snaps going to Hunter Renfrow. I would prefer them just going to the guys in house. Butt memes, A.T. Perry, Cedric Wilson, Saint Brown, whoever, right? I don't need to go to Hunter Renfrow. Don't need it. But thank y'all for joining. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. We'll be back this upcoming week. Hope everyone has a great week. Hope everyone had a great, safe 4th of July holiday weekend. Oh, rooting for America. Tough these days. Joe said he ain't going nowhere.
It's dicey, boy.
Bro, what date is the election? Because I know the Saints Falcons game is the 10th of November, bro.
I think it's like that week, that previous Tuesday. So there's gonna be some interesting moods. I'm having fun regardless.
Letting this shitty country fucking mess up our big thing we do every year.
Unless it's World War III. Unless it's World War III breaking out of Civil War or some shit.
I'm good, bro. No, I'm not good. Like, it's gonna be terrible. It's just gonna be to the dark days where I'm waking up, looking at Twitter, I'm laughing, and I'm texting you like, this is hilarious, but also, are we about to die at the same time? It was a terrible, terrible way of existing for 4 years, bro. Why you said November 5th? So, election day is November 5th, bro. I fly to New Orleans November 7th.
We'll see.
We will. We ain't letting none stop our vibe that we did at all. We ain't letting it happen. So, like Wayne said, it's Falcons take week regardless. So anyway, thank y'all for joining. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We will try to do an episode. Well, we will do an episode this coming week. Don't know on what yet, but we'll do one. So thank y'all for being along for the ride. Like, subscribe. Kind of weird, I'm saying this at the end, but like, subscribe on YouTube and any other platforms. With that, we're out.
Peace.